wrapping up the previous games and looking forward to the ones to come. This is Preps Rewind, presented by Gould Parts in downtown Eaton, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Clark Johnson.
Good morning from the Allo Communications Studio. Saturday morning, Preps Rewind. No Clark Johnson this week. Kyle Johnson filling in as we will go through last night's scoreboard and get you all the finals that we were unable to get to you last night, as well as got some coaches lined up. Should be a fun show with going to talk to Jeff Fulton of Fossil Ridge towards the end of the show, talk about the atmosphere last night at the Canvas Community Classic. Great day here on KFKA yesterday as we were out at Canvas Stadium all day long, had a couple of games, had our shows out there. So a fun day yesterday, but we're going to get it from the field perspective from Jeff Fulton and the Fossil Ridge crew. Big win last night for the Loveland Red Wolves. We'll talk to Alan Jeffries, their head coach. Valley on Thursday night got their second win in a row. We have not caught up with Scott Leffler this season on any of our postgame shows, so we will check in with Coach Leffler from Valley, and also one that we had circled last night. We'll get to that final in a minute. But looking forward to talking to Coach Corey Tickner about his berth at Spartans win over Fort Lupton last night as well. So we'll get to all of that and try to squeeze in some top 10 volleyball and softball scores from the week that was as well. So a busy show this morning here on Preps Rewind. Let's start with those two games at the Canvas Community Classic yesterday. And the opener was Pooter and Rocky. The Impalas got out to early 7-0 lead. Then Pooter tied it at 7, but it was, or Pooter got out to the early lead, then Rocky tied it at 7, but it was all Impalas after that. They win 34-7. They're now 5-1 on the season. Rocky drops back to 3-3 as, like I said, Pooter got things rolling in that second half, ran away from them. The Fossil Ridge Fort Collins game, kind of an interesting one as the Sabercats got out to a big lead, had it near the 40-point running clock separation, and then all of a sudden Fort Collins started coming back. Got things a little close at the end, but still Fossil Ridge cruised to a victory. They're now 5-1 as well. They win 46-21. Colton Pollock, the fill-in sophomore quarterback, another big night for the Sabercats as he hit the end zone 4 times on the ground, also had one through the air. So we will talk to Coach Jeff Fulton about that as well coming up here in our next couple of segments. 2A scores, we're going to drop down after we hit the big 5A scores. We'll drop down to 2A. We talked about Coach Scott Leffler coming on with us in our next segment. He and his Valley Vikings got their second consecutive win on Thursday night, so they had a night off last night. They beat the Wellington Eagles 51-22. Platte Valley and Dievlin in a good battle last night. Broncos got out to a 20-7 advantage before the defense maybe let them down a little bit. They got behind 29-20. They scored and got within 2 at 29-27 with 5 minutes left, but weren't able to get down and get a chance at a game-winning field goal or punching in a game-winning touchdown. So they fall to 2-3 now, due to the Platte Valley Broncos, after a 29-27 loss. The other score in that 2A League 1 from last night, we did not have it. Just interested to see where Bennett lies. I think it's going to be Bennett, Dievlin, and Platte Valley. Valley in there as well in that League 1. But Bennett and Prospect Ridge, the Tigers roll past the Miners 68-0 in that matchup. Weld Central gets their first win on the season as they headed out to Sterling last night, 47-7. So the Rebels, no trouble with the Sterling Tigers. Both teams now 1-5 on the season. Check that, 1-4 on the season. Have it right in front of me, and I still can't get it right. So Weld Central 47, Sterling 7. Brush got a win Thursday night. The Beat Diggers, after losing a couple in a row, back on the winning side of the ledger. They get past Arvada 48-30. Games coming up today in that 2A League 2. It is Timnath headed to University, so Coach Doss and the Bulldogs will host the Timnath Cubs. University coming off their first win of the season a week ago over Highland. See if they can make it 2 in a row as the winless Cubs come to Greeley today. We talked about the four Lepton Berthoud game. We'll hear from Corey Tickner in our next segment as well. His Spartans win 35-14 last night over the Blue Devils. Alex Larson did the most of the heavy lifting for the Berthoud Spartans. He hit the end zone four times, all of them from close range, but a big night for Alex Larson. The defense made a big stop too. I think it was 28-14 at the time, and they stopped the Blue Devils on fourth and goal. So we will talk to Coach Tickner about that as well. The Eaton Reds do what the Eaton Reds do last night. The number three ranked team in the state. No trouble with the Steamboat Sailors. Sailed right past them. In fact, 41-7 the final in that matchup. Walker Martin to Austin Martinez started the scoring with a 33-yard touchdown connection. He also connected with his old buddy Zach Grable for two scores, one from 19, and then a big bomb play, 74-yard score as well. So Eaton keeps on doing what they do. Jumping up to 3A, Green Mountain and Meade. The Mavericks trending in the wrong direction. They dropped to 1-4 on the season as they could not solve the Green Mountain defense. In their defense, not many have been able to. The number three ranked team in the state wins 43-7 last night. Thompson Valley and Niwot will play today. That's a 1 o'clock kick from Niwot as the Cougars and the Eagles get ready to do battle. Niwot 3-1. A win today moves them to 4-1. That record looks pretty good as they take on Thompson Valley today. Thursday score in 3A League 7, Mountain View 43, Centaurus 6. The 4A Warriors were 3-2 coming in. Looked like that should be tilted their way against a winless Mountain View Mountain Lions team, but the Lions all over Centaurus 43-6. Res Christian chalks up another big victory. They win 56-0 over Sand Creek last night as the Scorpions came down from Colorado Springs. So Res now 5-0 on the season as they get ready to fire up that League 7 schedule. Should be a doozy. Roosevelt, Northridge, and Res. Three teams all inside of the top six in that league. So we'll see if they beat up on each other a little bit here in the coming weeks. Roosevelt and Northridge off this week for our 3A football. 4A football. Have a Thursday night final in 4A League 1. That was Windsor and Greeley Central. The Wizards 42-0. They shut out the Wildcats. Erie and Loveland 35-14 for the Red Wolves. Loveland starts it off with a bang. They get a 75-yard touchdown run from Trey Olson on the very first play of the game. Garrett Harstead did what Garrett Harstead does. He's always busy and active. He scored touchdowns from 71 yards and 1 yard out. Also connected with Ty Young for a 13-yard score. Hudson Vogesser got into the end zone as well. He did that from 21 yards out. We'll talk to Alan Jeffries about all of that coming up in our third segment. But Loveland and Erie 35-14. Skyline and Silver Creek. The Longmont schools do battle last night, and the Falcons outlast the Raptors 28-21. 4A League 2, the only score we had of note in that one was Greeley West and Longmont. The Trojans get their second win of the season as they cruise past the Spartans 42-0. Broomfield, the number two ranked team in 4A, kind of a back-and-forth battle, if you will, as much as you can call it a back-and-forth battle with 2-3 Dakota Ridge. In the end, Broomfield wins 55-24, but that game kind of was spread out, and then Dakota Ridge, I think, got it to 24-17, and then Broomfield put the foot back on the pedal, pulled away at the end. The number two-ranked Eagles win it 55-24. 1A game that we had circled last night was Wiggins and Yuma, and it did not disappoint. The Tigers and the Indians went right down to the wire. As a matter of fact, Yuma kicks a field goal as time expires to get the 23-20 victory. Yuma got up 20-6 in that contest. Wiggins comes storming back. They get even at 20, but in the end, Yuma's offense drives down and scores. It kicks the game-winning field goal. Games coming up today in the smaller classifications. 1A football, 6 o'clock tonight. Highland heads to Estes Park. The 0-4 Huskies travel to take on the 4-0 Bobcats, so that will be a challenging matchup for the Coach Zach Sandstrom and his Highland Huskies looking for their first victory of the season. Eight-man football today from Dayspring Christian High School. The Eagles will host the Marino Rams. Dayspring Christian now 3-1, lost their first game of the season. They've won three in a row. They'll look to keep that winning trend headed in the right direction as they welcome in Marino today. That's all the scores as we had them from the weekend that was and the preview of the games coming up. We'll take a timeout on the other side. It will be Scott Leffler of the Valley Vikings as well as Corey Tickner. We'll talk to those two head coaches when we come back on Preps Rewind right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA. Sports Rewind from the Allo Communications Studios. We will go to the phone lines now and get our first chat of the season that I've had anyways with the head coach of the Valley Vikings, Scott Leffler, joins us. Coach, thank you for taking some time this morning. Sorry we got a little wonky last night. It just kept going, so I figured we'd just start fresh this morning.
Ah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you guys kind of get off to a rough start, have some tough games to get things rocking and rolling, but you've won two in a row now as you took down Weld Central a couple of weeks ago and then got past Wellington two nights ago. What changed and what's got you guys trending in the right direction?
We're just taking it one game at a time and just trying to correct little mistakes. And coming together as a team, the boys have started trying to gel as a group and have kind of figured some of those things out together, which is good.
Yeah, seems like the offense may be getting going a little bit better now, too. Had a couple of tough games with Berthoud and Fort Lupton where you guys didn't put many points on the board, but now you're kind of trending in the right direction. 28 a couple weeks ago and then 51 this week on Wellington, so the offense may be headed in the right direction now.
I hope so. I really hope so. We're starting to see things pretty well. Our quarterback, Carson Adolphs, he's starting to read defense, and guys are communicating better. Always can get better with all of those things, but they're starting to see the field a little bit better and find those gaps and starting hit holes.
Yeah, talk about your quarterback, just a sophomore, if I remember correctly. So I think he played quite a bit last year as a freshman and just the growth that maybe you've seen as he comes into this sophomore year.
Yeah, he started every game for us last year as a freshman. And he had a pretty good season last year. But as a freshman, that strength really wasn't there and wasn't a real big kid. And this year he's put a few pounds on, he's grown a little bit and spent a little extra time in the weight room this off season, so he's being able to make some of those long throws this year that can stretch that defense out a little bit, which is really nice.
The quarterback always gets all of the love, right? But there's got to be other guys on that field, either offensively or defensively. Anybody else stand out in your guys' win the other night, or just on the season so far that have really impressed you and shown a lot of growth?
Oh yeah, I mean we've got a good group of kids. Our D line right now is they're pretty stout. You got a leader with Aiden Trujillo, who's a senior, big kid, flies around just as competitive as can be. Got another young man. He's a junior this year. His name's Kane Badan, a kid that as a freshman and a sophomore just kind of, you know, was around and doing the thing and playing some JV football. And then after last year, he said, you know, coach, I want to find that varsity field. And the kid never missed a workout. He was in the weight room all off season. Football is his only sport, so that he focused really hard in that weight room. And all of a sudden, he's just become an animal out there on the field. So it's a lot of fun to see that D-line really work together. The O-line's coming together a little bit. Our left side, it consists of Kane and Aiden, and our center is top-notch kid too, and then our right-hand side is starting to figure things out. They're a little younger on the right-hand side, but they're starting to figure things out and communicate and work together as a unit.
Yeah, and with that, you talk about that youth up front, especially on the right side, then that makes things, you know, they all kind of have to grow together, I'm sure, to get your quarterback time to work or your running back holes to hit and all of those types of things. So hopefully those things are all gelling together at the right time for you guys. You guys roll into a new league this year as they kind of juggle the thing as they often do, and you see, obviously, Wellington, who you hadn't seen. Bennett and DeEvelyn, I think, are new to you guys, too. But a familiar foe next week, Platte Valley, you're no stranger to them. They went down again yesterday. You talked about it when we were texting back and forth, like, hey, we were going to try to check out Platte Valley, but they started early on you guys. But I'm sure for the most part you know the Broncos.
Yeah. Coach Hoffman, he's always got a good squad over there. They do their thing, and they plug away at it really well. They're always tough. They got some big boys up front that are just as aggressive as can be. And then they've got a couple of quarterbacks that they're running with that they're just quick as all get out too. So they run that read option stuff, and you just got to play disciplined football against them, and hopefully we can find a way to come away with a victory.
Well, you guys have done that the last 2 weeks for sure. So continued success. We thank you for taking a little time and catching us up on the Vikings. And we'll chat with you hopefully again after a couple more wins throughout the rest of the season.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That'd be awesome.
All right. There he is, Coach Scott Loeffler, the head coach of the Valley Vikings. They've won two in a row now after a win Thursday night against the Wellington Eagles 51-22. We're going to stay right on the phone lines and jump back to the head coach of the Berthoud Spartans, and that's Corey Tickner, as his Spartans got a win last night over the Fort Lupton Blue Devils 35-14. Coach, good morning. Thanks for taking a little time with us again this week.
Good morning, Kyle. Thanks for having me on.
We had you on the postgame show last week, and we talked about the anticipation of this game coming up, and it sounds like it did not disappoint.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere at Max Marr Stadium last night. Coach Ramirez brought in the Blue Devils, and they had a pretty good game plan for us, and it was a great game, and it was really exciting for our kids and our community.
Yeah, I was just kind of following along on Twitter, but it sounds like you guys get your first touchdown from Alex Larson. You go for it on fourth and goal from the five, so you came out aggressive, ready to rock and roll, and it sounds like Alex paid it off by getting into the end zone and maybe set the tone a little bit.
Yeah, Alex Larson's our feature back over here at Berthoud, and he had quite a few carries last night. I think he went for about 280 yards. He set the tone early, and I think he got in the end zone. He got in the end zone three times. So, you know, our coaching staff, Coach Francis, Coach Matsunaka, they put together a really good game plan with Coach Stumpf at the offensive line. And, you know, Coach Greer's been doing some great stuff with Alex at the running back position. Ben Hughes is doing some good things at running back for us, too. And we even got our sophomore back, Cole Bilek, last night. He got some carries for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we talked a lot more about Ben Hughes last week than we did Alex Larson. So it's nice to have more than one name to lean in on that running back. Like you said, it sounds like Alex is the bell cow, but you could go to Ben if you need to as well.
Yeah, you know, when you want to control the clock like we do, it's really important to have more than one option in the backfield. So it's really good that we got some kids stepping up. But our offensive line, they've been playing amazing this year. They call themselves the Berthoud Moving Company over here. And, you know, Ben Larson's leading the way at center. Kyle Garman's playing some awesome guard for us. Brandon Calise is playing guard for us. Donovan Mann played an amazing game last night. So our offensive line is really imposing their will on people right now.
Yeah, and it sounds like your special teams did good for you as well last night. Like I said, just following along throughout Twitter, but it sounds like Fort Lupton had scored and maybe tightened things up a little bit, and you guys get a long kick return right after it and then punch it in. So that's good to set up the offense and answer right back after they score on you guys.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We noticed some things on their kickoff coverage that we thought we could take advantage of, and we got a freshman, Jace Newbill, who's doing some things for us, and he took that kickoff right up the gut. Nolan Simon made a great block for him, and that was a big swinging point in the game because we needed to answer that touchdown right there. They put us up in good field position, and our offense was able to finish that drive.
Yeah, and it sounds like another swing point, maybe in the third or fourth quarter, Fort Lupton. I think at that time it was 28-14. Fort Lupton goes for it on fourth and goal, and this time we get to talk about the defense. Sounds like they stood up, stopped him, and maybe kind of stopped any momentum they had or hopes of getting back into the game.
Oh, that was a huge play. You know, when the running back caught the ball coming off the right side, we all kind of thought he was going to walk in. Elijah Moser just came out of nowhere, slowed him up, and then we rallied and made the tackle. You know, Coach Vanderwerf really put together a game plan this week that we can be proud of over here. Fort Lupton scored with about 3 minutes left in the first half. Our kids really adopted to that game plan once they saw it out on the field. They were carried away and shut them out for the rest of the game, and that was a big difference. But after that fourth down play, Kyle, we got the ball on the one-yard line. And our offense went to work, and we took about 7 minutes off the clock. We didn't score on that drive, but, you know, we took the time of possession battle. We won that all night. We also won it last week, and that's something we're going to keep trying to do.
Yeah, sometimes when, especially when you have a two-touchdown lead anyways, and it's the second half, obviously you always want to score, but you don't have to score if you can chew 7 minutes off of that clock.
Well, that's right. And, you know, we talked to the kids about whether or not we should kick a field goal in that spot, maybe try to go up three scores, but we felt like making them drive length of the field two times was probably a better option than maybe getting the field goal blocked and have them run it back, do an onside kick. So, you know, the way our defense is playing this season, we felt like going for it on fourth down there was the right move.
Yeah, you guys now 4-1 on the season. You have Faith Christian next, and then the buzzsaw that is the Eaton Reds ahead of them. And I know that you guys only look 1 week ahead, but how do you make sure the kids don't try to look past Faith Christian and look forward to that Eaton game in 2 weeks?
Well, that's a great point. We've been talking about focus, you know, taking one day at a time over here all season long. We take it one play at a time, and that's what we're going to do this week. You know, Faith Christian is a perennial 2A power in the state, so we're really excited about the opportunity to travel to their place on Friday and see if we can keep this thing going over here at Berthoud.
Right on. Well, a couple of schools trending in the right direction. We talked about it last week. You guys obviously have started your uphill climb, and it sounds like the Fort Lupton Blue Devils may be headed in that direction as well. So congrats on getting a win last night, and keep it rolling.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me on.
All right, there he is, the head coach of the Berthoud Spartans. They are now 4-1 on the season after a 35-14 victory over the Fort Lupton Blue Devils last night in that matchup. A fun game there. We're going to take our next time out. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone line and catch up with a couple of more coaches. Get Alan Jeffries from Loveland when we come back. His team is rolling right now. We'll also catch up with Jeff Fulton of Fossil Ridge. It'll be fun to check in what things were like at Canvas Stadium from his perspective. So we will hear from those two gentlemen when we come back here on Preps Rewind from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Preps Rewind, presented by Gould Parts in downtown Eaton. Back here on a Saturday morning, Gould Parts for any parts, including quality Napa parts. Call 454-3354. Also, Milton's in Kersey, Greeley, and Eaton are sponsors of Preps Rewind. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Talk to the head coach of the Loveland Red Wolves. That's Alan Jeffries. His team gets another victory last night. Coach, thanks for taking a little time this morning.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess we'll just start off. You guys get off to about as good a start as you can get, I'd imagine. Sounds like you scored 75 yards out on the very first play.
Yeah, it was a nice way to start a game, obviously. You know, Trey got some great blocking out there on the edge and pretty much just turned into a foot race, and he's pretty quick. So, you know, he covered the territory, and yeah, nice way to start a ball game, especially against a tough team.
We're going to cover a lot of ground because I have a tendency to jump around, but you guys, you start the season with that loss, and then you kind of rolled past some teams, your defense giving up no more than 8 points, four games in a row, and you had a pretty good quarterback coming to town last night, and you guys held them down to 14, so you've got to be happy with where the defense has played this year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I talked to the boys after that first game against Fossil, you know, and not real often we drop an opener and such, but, you know, I put the blame on me. We didn't get a scrimmage lined up. I couldn't get anybody to bite on a scrimmage for us. So, you know, that was our first contact. So after that, we kind of, you know, got our feet in the water. And you know, once you get that first contact against a different colored jersey, you get a little more comfortable with it. And the boys have just been balling. I mean, they're hungry. They're looking for nothing less than going all the way. And so, you know, you coach a group of kids like that, and it sure is fun.
Yeah, and like you said, the defense is rocking and rolling. The game last night, I think, is interesting to me because it just, you know, I follow along via Twitter or however I can get scores for you guys, but you guys kind of jumped out and got a pretty good lead, and then it sounds like Erie maybe put a couple on you, and then you guys tightened down, and away you win again.
Yeah, you know, they made some good plays there in that second quarter, and, you know, give credit to Erie. You know, like I say, they're a good ball club, and so we knew we weren't going to shut them out or, you know, probably have our JV guys in there towards the end and giving up a score, that type of thing or whatever, but the thing of it was is you know, you want to contain a team like that and make sure that they don't get too much momentum, and that's exactly what happened. And then halftime we went in, made some adjustments, gave them a couple different looks, and, you know, second half was able to hold them down to just the two scores in the second.
Yeah, I mentioned they had a pretty good quarterback in Blake Barnett, but your guy isn't bad either. He had another big night for you as Garrett Harstead continues to roll for the Loveland Red Wolves.
Yeah, Garrett, special kid. He's a competitor. You know, he's obviously got a heck of a frame, and he's just, you know, he's hungry. He always wants the ball. You know, you can put it in his hand every time, and he's going to give you everything he's got every time. So it's amazing having Garrett back there. He's a good leader for us, and like I say, he's one of those kids that you want to have. And actually, I had him last night starting on outside linebacker as well. So he was really excited about that. Got to play a little defense for a change too.
Yeah, I guess that is a good segue to my next question, because not many guys will let them play both ways. Did you do that because he wanted to play defense? Did you do that out of necessity, or what kind of led to that decision?
No, we did that 100% out of necessity. So, unfortunately, last night I had both of my outside linebackers, my number one and number two, were both on the sideline, a little banged up, little injuries and stuff, and just couldn't go. So, you know, again, you're facing a ranked team and a good team with a quarterback like that, and, you know, they're obviously a lot bigger on the line than us. So, you know, I needed a good guy in there for coverage and that type of thing, and when Garrett was growing up, he played some linebacker and that type of thing. So, you know, he had 1 week of practice going into this to get ready for it, and, you know, I mean, I think he did a heck of a job out there for us.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to just be extremely athletic and have good instincts and some of that stuff you're just born with and can rock and roll.
Yeah, for sure. And like I say, you know, I mean, little prep time for him and stuff, but it was kind of like going back home for him, because I know, like I say, he played it when he was a kid. So I'm sure he had a good time last night. He's probably a little more sore than he usually is, but we'll be ready to go run next week as well.
Yeah, next week you guys get Grand Junction Central. So that's the long road trip, the kind of one that doesn't necessarily fit with the rest of them. But you guys will go over the road. Do you do anything special for that in preparation? When do you guys head out on Friday? How does that look?
Yeah, we'll be heading out Friday morning. We've got our walkthrough set up about halfway there. So we'll get the players off the bus and, you know, stretch our legs, do our walkthroughs, that kind of thing. Then we'll go on into Grand Junction, get a little dinner, and grab a hotel for the night and, you know, get ready to go. We got a Saturday 1 o'clock game, so should be fun.
Yeah, it's. I think the kids probably like that too, just a little bit different, and to like you said, get a hotel and take that long road trip. So looking forward to that one as well.
Oh, yeah. I think the players really enjoy it. You know, it's a long trip and a long day and stuff, long 2 days, I should say. But, you know, it's kind of a rare treat to get, you know, like those Western Slope teams like Grand Junction and such. You know, they do a lot of travel and they're more used to it. So it's kind of a rare treat for us.
Yeah, right on. Well, we thank you for some time this morning and continued success. You guys on a roll. Like you said, you lose that opener to 5A Fossil Ridge, who's looking pretty good as well up there for Coach Fulton. So you guys rocking and rolling, and the schedule continues to roll for you as you roll into league play. But look forward to talking to you a couple more times throughout the season and hopefully on into November.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you guys covering us, and thank you for putting us on and letting us talk a little bit Loveland football.
All right, thank you. There he is, Alan Jeffries, the head coach of the Loveland Red Wolves. They're 5-1 now on the season. They've won 5 in a row. Last night's victory over a good Eaton team, 35-15. We'll stay with it one more time as we jump back on the phone and we get the head coach of the Fossil Ridge Sabercats. The Sabercats have won 4 in a row now after they get a win last night against Fort Collins. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Good morning.
We're gonna talk about the football too, but how cool was it for your guys to be able to play in that stadium and do the whole Canvas Community Challenge deal last night?
It was a 10 out of a 10. It was a 20 out of a 10. Between PSD and the leadership of Mr. Carlucci, our athletic director, Canvas people, obviously, they pulled off an unbelievable event. To the people of Fort Collins who were able to attend, I know they did not leave disappointed. Obviously, two teams left with losses, and that's disappointing, but I don't mean in a bad way. It's just we had the middle schools there. We had the elementary schools there. It was unbelievable. What an event.
Yeah, and you know, for some of your guys, right, there's aspirations, and they're going to hopefully play in a place like that. But there's a lot of guys that may never get to play in a place like that again. So I'm sure the locker rooms, just to see the extra columns on the bleachers and all of those different things,
yeah,
it was really cool for some of them to soak that in.
Absolutely, and maybe it inspires them to go on and go to Colorado State. It's such a great university, and to connect to the community and the high school kids. The high school kids got in free. We came out of the tunnel, and I looked up, and the Fossil Ridge student body was unbelievably well represented. there were people everywhere, and of course adults and family members as well. But the student body, I was so impressed, for all schools actually. The early game, I know Pooter got the big lead early, and it just was a great event. It's just, can't say enough about how lucky we were to be part of it.
Yeah, you have the big screen, you have the replays, I mean, you have it all. You get some football weather. I mean, it's a little rainy, but that didn't seem to damper the crowd. I think I read somewhere, I read somewhere that they had over 10,000 get in there between the two games, so that's pretty good on a rainy night in Fort Collins.
Yeah, the rain really held off for the most part. It was a little sprinkly here and there, but yeah, that's the number I heard too, was 10,000. That's awesome.
All right, now let's get to the game, because Colton Pollock continues to be impressive. You guys get out to a big lead and are kind of rocking and rolling, and a lot of it ties back to Colton Pollock.
Yeah, you know what? The whole world is worried about him because he's only a sophomore. We're loving up on that for sure. You know, as a dual threat, we've never really been a dual threat football team since I've been there. But we are now, and Colton Pollock makes people miss. Him and Mr. Toshkoff, Jake Toshkoff, they both have an innate ability to make the first tackler miss. Now you're going to be a good tackler if you bring those kids down one-on-one.
Yeah, it's funny how when you get the right skill set, you become a certain thing, or you become figure out how to coach that skill set, I guess, if you will.
Well, and honestly, and I'm not taking any of the credit, our offensive staff, we found a diamond in the rough here when Tyler Kubek got hurt with the collarbone, and we made the most of it because that's what our skill set did determine. It wasn't some genius move by my office at all. It was, let's put the best kid under center and let him make people miss. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was obviously listening to the game last night, sitting in the studio, mm-hmm. Clark and Mike out there, and I know one time he got up pretty slow, had to set out a play. I'm sure you guys were holding your collective breath at that point.
And it was his breath that we were collectively holding, because he only had the wind knocked out of him. Every time I go on the field, if it's something like that, not that it's minor, but I always ask him to sit up so their moms and dads don't worry too much. You can imagine the anxiety. Sitting in the bleachers and your son's down and the trainer's head out and the head coach heads out. So he sat up right away, caught his breath, and obviously was right back in after sitting out for one play.
Yeah, I know they said he got up, walked off under his own power, all that stuff, so it all looked good. But yeah, I'm sure it's just a little scary when you're rolling and then you see him go down. But your defense did their thing again last night. I mean, they've been on a roll here as of late as well. They gave up 35 to Loveland in the first one, but they've kind of held teams down. And I know Fort Collins got 21 on you last night, but I think a little bit of that was late in that second half against some of the reserves. So I think the starting defense had another good night.
They did. Coach Moorhead and the staff on this defensive side put together a great plan. But more than that, our D-line is our best position group, and they were able to control the line of scrimmage. We got really good DBs and linebackers with great experience. Eight of our starters are seniors, and so they're playing the way seniors should be playing, and I'm very thrilled about that.
Okay, so we've hit on Colton a lot on the offensive side. Is there anybody else that you need to hit on that stood out maybe individually that we don't give enough credit because we don't see the gaudy stats show up on the stats that we can see?
Well, it starts also with our receiver package. We've got three guys who are 6'2 or better and can just flat out run and play. Dominic Leone, a basketball kid who is obviously playing football. Marcus Moser is a sophomore who's going to be, in my opinion, he's a D1 recruit pretty quickly. And we got Trek Keyworth, who I call our MVP every day. He just is an unbelievable kid. So there's three mismatches right now on the edge, on the perimeter for our wide receiver group. Defensively, like I mentioned, it was our D-line. And, you know, Theo Frerick, he's an edge rusher. He's got great technique. His motor's high. He's a total disruptor. He's a total disruptor.
Yeah, you talk about those receivers, and you keep saying sophomore this, sophomore that, and so your skill positions are young, but you've got the meat and potatoes in the big guys, in the seniors as well, kind of anchoring things, it sounds like. So you have a good mixture up and down your roster.
Yes, we do. Our senior group defensively, we're heavy with seniors, but our O-line only really has two seniors, and so we're going to bring back three, maybe three and a half guys on the offensive line next year.
Yeah, so things looking good not only this year for Fossil Ridge football, but hopefully into the future as well. Yeah. You guys get rocking and rolling on league play last night, and you'll work your way down the league. And I know that there's been realignment this year. All the Fort Collins schools all in the same league, so you're going to have two more of these kind of crosstown matchups to come further on down the line, so those should be fun as well.
And they will. We got to go to Boulder High this Thursday. They've switched our game from Friday to Thursday due to the fact that they can't get referees regularly. So we're playing a Thursday night in Boulder at Boulder High School, and then we come back and have Rocky Mountain at our place. So you're right. The Fort Collins crosstown rivalries are definitely in our laser beam focus here.
Yeah, you talk about that Boulder matchup real quick. What do you do differently for that Thursday night game? I mean, obviously you lose a day of preparation and all of that kind of stuff. How do you kind of jiggle all of that?
Oh, we'll go in full pads on Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll do our pregame stuff on Wednesday. But, you know, the high school kids are pretty resilient. We're healthy, basically. We've got some, you know, long-term injuries with Tyler and Matt Lusteed. But the guys from last night who contributed major minutes, we came out healthy. We're going to be a little banged up, but we'll go real light on Monday. A little bit of video and then on the field. So our adjustments are ready to go. The staff met this morning, and we're good to go. And like I said, when you have a bunch of seniors, it makes it easy to teach.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, congratulations on another win. You guys keep it rolling, and we'll keep checking in with you. And hopefully we can check in with you all the way into November as you guys rock and roll. But congrats on a win. Congrats on a great event last night. I got to go out there for a little bit for our pregame show, and what a cool atmosphere. So glad you guys enjoyed it, and hopefully they do it again next year and for years to come.
Supposed to be. That's my understanding. So, and thank you to KFK. We appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you very much. There he is, head coach of the Fossil Ridge Sabercats. They roll last night over Fort Collins 46-21 in the Canvas Community Classic there at Canvas Stadium. And the Cats are not going to be an easy out as we roll on through the rest of the schedule here to finish up the season. We'll take our last time out. When we come back, we will check around some top 10 matchups on the volleyball court as well as the softball diamond. That to come. Some scores coming up next from the Owl Communications Studio here on Preps Rewind. This is 1310 KFKA. Final segment, Preps Rewind, Saturday morning here from the Allo Communications studio. Preps Rewind brought to you by Gould Parts in Eaton as well as Milton's. So thank you to them for their sponsorship. Take a quick look around volleyball and softball top 10 scores from the week that was. And we'll start in 3A. Top rank Eaton gets past Estes Park and University, both of those sweeps. So Estes Park unranked, University set in number 4. The Bulldogs have had a rough couple of weeks. Platte Valley swept them out of their gym a couple of weeks ago as well. So the Bulldogs number 4 in the state, but maybe dropping a little bit as they've had some struggles. Speaking of Platte Valley, the number 3 ranked Broncos, they won with two sweeps this week as well. Resurrection Christian and Timnath, the victims for the Broncos. Number 8 in 3A is Valley. They went 3-0 with Sterling in town, and then they swept past Frontier as well. Number 4, Windsor gets past Greeley Central. That's jumping up to 4A. Number 9 in 4A is Niwot. They swept Northridge and Fort Morgan. So you're seeing a little bit of a theme here. Not a lot of not a lot of close matches here for these top-ranked teams. 4A, Tom Drake, Thompson. Top-ranked Thompson Valley, the Eagles, and if I believe correctly, the defending champions, they get a 3-0 win over Frederick, and Northridge had the same fate against the Eagles. So six sets played, six sets won for the number 1-ranked Thompson Valley Eagles. Also in 5A, number 5 Fossil Ridge fell to Horizon 3-1, so there's one that went the wrong direction for a ranked team. Softball around the area, 5A top 10 teams, number 6 Erie, they had a good battle with Broomfield, but the Tigers end up winning it 4-0. Erie then went on to knock off Rocky 7-2. 4A softball, University number 4 in the rankings this week. They matched up with number 1 Eaton, and it was all dogs. So they won a final of 7-1. Also, UH comes back and beats number 2 in the rankings. That's Strasburg. They scored 3 in the bottom of the 8th in that game to get a 10-9 win. So, University ranked number 4 in the polls. They knock off number 1 one and number two this week. Got to believe they will be climbing up those polls. Eaton bounced back from that loss to the University Bulldogs. They rolled Valley 10-0 in five innings. Final volleyball score we have for you is number three, Brush. They've won 13 in a row now as the Lady Diggers took out Valley 13-1 in a matchup there between Brush and Valley. Those are our top 10 scores around volleyball and softball. That'll about wrap us up here from the studio. Remember your games today in football that we want to keep an eye on. It is the Timnath Cubs and the University Bulldogs. That's a 6 o'clock start. Also today, Thompson Valley in 3A travels to Niwot to take on the Cougars. And the final one that we have on the docket to keep an eye on for Saturday games, two of them, in fact, 1A Highland travels to Estes Park. And in 8-man, it is Marino. They will welcome, or Marino comes to Day Spring to take on the Day Spring Christian Eagles. For our interviews today, we thank them for coming on. Scott Leffler, Corey Tickner, Alan Jeffries, and Jeff Fulton. We thank them for all of their coming on today. Also, thanks to Micah Kilpatrick for doing all the hard work, keeping us on the air sounding good. Have yourself a wonderful Saturday. We'll check in with you next Friday, football night in NOCO, 6 o'clock, ahead of Greeley West, Greeley Central, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.